He's playing the bongos over there.
Of course
there.
He is.
I'm his interpreter.
Yes. One time I actually got on the bongo cam at a K-Wings game.
Okay.
Yes. I just wanted to say that since we were talking about the bongos.
So you say bongo cam. That just sounds intriguing already.
But, yep. Bongos at the bottom, and I was just doing that, playing it, and had a funny expression on my face.
Oh, so what's like new? Yeah, okay.
Nothing's new with that. I have one on it every day.
That's true. That's true.
Did the crowd laugh or anything?
Oh, yeah. I heard some laughter.
Uh-huh. Yeah, mostly it was the people sitting with you.
Yeah.
Were they pointing at the time? No, I'm kidding.
So there's a difference between laughing and pointing and laughing.
Yes.
It's just a whole new level.
That's, I was trying to get to that finer point there, but...
The finer point. Okay.
No pun intended.
Thank you. Please tip your waiters and waitresses. Anyway, so the program is in full motion here. This is a little program we like to call Lawrence and Taylor, or Roger likes to call it something else, but we don't let him. And I'd love to tell you what we're up to right now, but Michael's interrupting the show again.
Yes, this, again? This just came in.
Okay, more traffic.
Go ahead. Right. This came in from a texter. A semi stuck on the snowbank blocking westbound lane of M43 in downtown Bangor.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Westbound.
M43.
In downtown Bangor.
Okay.
Thank you.
So you're welcome.
That'll cause you a little bit of trouble if you're heading through there. Hopefully we're not going to cause you any trouble at all with this. If you like movies...
Ooh, are we going to do that?
Not right now.
Oh.
But sometimes
you got his hopes up.
Yeah. You know, he's just kind of like, what? Yes?
We get to give away tickets, squirrel? I like giving stuff away.
It's sort of like that moment in sports where they're going, yeah. Oh. So not quite yet, Roger, but soon we're going to be giving away tickets. I got four of them to see the movie Vampire Academy. It is coming out Friday. And you'll be able to go to Celebration Cinema in Portage. Not you, Roger. Don't get excited.
No employees, huh?
the fortunate one who will be able to answer the dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question that Michael has come up with. We're going to say it's off the top of his head, but I think he has actually something today. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get with him a little later, and we'll get with you a little later on that to give away those tickets so you can be a part of something brand new this weekend. And regardless, always nice to go to the theater there.
Yeah.
So it's a great place. So also a little bit later, we're going to be discussing Obamacare. The numbers have come out from the Congressional Budget Office. So we'll bandy those about, take your calls on that. Also, we wanted to take some time to take your calls on what we've been talking about. The TSA has been featured prominently and not so nicely in a Politico article. It was written by a former TSA employee, now a writer. His name is Jason Edward Harrington. He wrote this. It was just last week came out with this. The article is called Dear America, I Saw You Naked. And this has to do with what the TSA has done over the years to safeguard our flights and that kind of thing. Now, you know, I shared earlier that I had been through one of these body scanners. That's probably the worst experience I've had. Other than the usual that everybody's gone through. Take your shoes off, empty your pockets, take your coat off, put it all here. Oh, by the way, does that bag have a laptop in it? Okay, great. You know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We've all been through that sort of thing. But I wondered if anybody listening has some interesting stories to share from traveling that they've done, going through security and that kind of thing. We'd love to hear about them.
Do you think it's a charade or do you feel safer flying because of going through the screening process by the TSA?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this just theater of the mind to make, to try to discourage terrorists and to make you feel more comfortable? But is it full of sound and fury, but not accomplishing much?
I guess we'll figure all that out. 382-4280. And 877-382-4280 are the phone numbers that you can call and be a part of the program today. And if you've had an interesting TSA experience or you just want to express your opinion on the topic,
feel free
to do that as well. Because, you know, there's been a lot of opinions. And I will admit, freely admit, we need to make sure that we're doing things to keep our travel safe
mm-hmm.
and keep you know, highways and airlines and you know, railways and whatever else safe so that the average person can travel around in peace and safety and comfort and whatever else.
Sure.
But, you know, the other part of it is I'm reminded of what Benjamin Franklin said, and I'm just going to absolutely kill this to death, but you get the sense of what he was saying just simply when he said that if you're giving up liberty for a little safety, you deserve neither.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. you know, I kind of wonder, all right, if Benjamin Franklin was around, first of all, he probably wouldn't fly because of all this. But what in the world would he have to say about all of that? And would he say, well, you're giving up your freedom here. You're giving up liberty just so that they can fill you up, basically.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and is this related to the NSA? Look, they don't want to see your junk necessarily, but
they love to lay eyes on your email.
Yeah,
basically,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And what rights of privacy do you have anymore?
Mm-hmm.
And have we lost by what we've already given up? One of the things that most offends me about President Obama mm-hmm. is the fact that he signed the indefinite detention law.
Mm-hmm.
All of this gets tied together at some level, at least in my mind,
mm-hmm.
Especially with your quote from Ben Franklin. Mm-hmm. And do we deserve neither at this point? Because we were so willing to give up our rights.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, we know 9/11 was a horrific thing. We all lived mm-hmm. through that. How many of us can say, I remember where I was, I remember what I was doing? And, you know, we could sit around and share stories all day. And that's not why we're here. But if you remember in those days, there was one thing that I think that happened that was very good. We all unified.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there wasn't this sense of, you know, we're Democrats, we're Republicans, we're this, we're that. It's we're Americans. And mm-hmm. I remember that sense of, you know, watching Congress standing on the steps of the Capitol singing, what was it, God Bless America or something
that.
I don't remember exactly what they were singing. But, you know, you just remember those moments.
George Bush with his arm around that fireman there at the...
with the megaphone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you remember pictures like that and you think, okay, we were unified. We were a country that was together and we wanted to do things. But then the other part of it is, did we do the wrong things? Did we look at it and say, well, wait a minute. Yeah, we want to catch these guys, but we want to make sure nobody's offended by our trying to catch these guys. So let's go after grandmothers just to show that we're being equal opportunity. I found that a little weird. Actually, I found it a lot weird, if you think about it.
Help me understand the going after grandmothers.
Well, the thought was, okay, we need to make sure we do security screening and that kind of thing. Uh-huh. Now, we knew where these guys came from. We knew what the background was. We knew where Al-Qaeda was and who they'd recruited and that kind of thing. But we felt like, well, let's not offend everybody. So we'll screen everybody and we'll put three-year-olds through it and grandmothers and people that we know aren't involved in this sort of thing. There wasn't common sense. It was more a sense of, let's just screen everybody. That's, you know, and it really wasn't even equal.
But isn't that what you do in a democracy versus identifying specific people that will have security different than everybody else's? Who's to say that Al-Qaeda, with their financial backing, weren't able to hire people other than
mm-hmm.
Those with a Middle Eastern background to be involved in their plans?
And it wasn't just Middle Eastern background as far as that goes. I mean, we knew what countries they were going from. Some of it was Somalis and that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. it wasn't just, we're after the Arabs and that's it. But I think you use some common sense. I mean, you ask about in a democracy, don't they screen everybody? Well, ask the Israelis what they do, because they're a democracy and they certainly make sure to screen people they know are going to come after them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I I don't know. I mean, that's kind of where I'm coming from.
They selectively screen people getting onto LL plane. Some people are screened differently than others. I'm not. You tell me.
Well, and they're screening, of course. You know, they go through the average screening anybody does, but then there's the more intensive. All right, we see somebody that makes us wonder here, so you off to the side. We're going to look at you a little closer. You know, here you don't see it, but just maybe, oh, okay, well, here's a 70-year-old woman that's going through, and there's no way she could possibly do it. But you know what? Single her out. And I don't see the logic in that sort of thing. Let's go to the phones here. Craig's on the line. Craig, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well.
Hey, I would go back to the Fourth Amendment, I believe it is, about illegal search and seizure and probable cause.
Mm-hmm.
Probable cause, in my mind, should be based on behavior, not ethnicity and not, 100% from the other end.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody was dressed in a way with a lump underneath, or if they looked funny, or a certain set of behaviors that you outline ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
then it would be equal in a democracy. But I don't think a democracy necessarily is 100% everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And just another note about this Constitution thing that keeps coming up these days. I got one of those little pocket copies of the Constitution mailed to me. For a fundraiser,
mm-hmm.
I got one from the ACLU, and I got the exact same one, same edition, everything, from the NRA. Kind of interesting, eh?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Chris.
Yep.
Craig.
That's a long
glasses
way
of... there.
We need a better monitor.
We need, like, a big screen TV.
Yeah. If we had a 60-inch monitor up there, I would have seen it was Craig.
This is Roger angling to be able to watch movies in here after hours. But,
yeah.
Come
on. That'd work.
Yeah, kick up his feet on the desk, make some popcorn.
Yeah.
No, but I think, Craig made an interesting point there, if you think about it, because he talked about just using some of the things that law enforcement uses to say, all right, well, they're acting a little suspicious. We're going to look into them a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly another angle to it as well.
Yeah. And I think that's I have read something of what the Israelis do.
Mm-hmm.
And they watch behavior significantly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they're more vigilant. And it takes a lot longer to get on a plane there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we could institute security like Israelis have in this country with a airline system as large as ours is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Israel, they have very little, very few, if any, flights within the country.
Yeah. It's a small country. It's the size of New Jersey.
Yeah. And so there, when you get on a plane, it's by definition international travel.
Mm-hmm.
And so comparing us to them, we're trying to run a very large economy and a transportation infrastructure mm-hmm. that it supports that large economy.
So let me just ask this, just from an informational standpoint. Do you think that we should treat travel from, say, here to Lincoln, Nebraska, different than, say, from here to London or Paris?
No.
In terms of how we handle passengers and that kind of thing?
No. What we're doing, if we do that, is setting up the target for Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
If we never take a look at grandmas going through the TSA lines, eventually Al-Qaeda will recruit grandmas to do this, and they'll disguise people to appear like a grandma. And what it does is give them some hints on how to avoid security.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's some of why we treat everybody alike, is so we don't signal to our enemies exactly what they have to do to get through our security.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if we didn't treat everybody equal, then we're just tipping off our opponents in this to mm-hmm. what they have to do to get through our security.
Now, and I think that a lot of it from my angle, the different stories that I've heard, I mean, I flash back to a story a couple of years ago I read about a little girl that she had gone to Christmas and her grandmother had gotten her one of these. You've seen the snow globes where mm-hmm, you can mm-hmm. put a picture in the middle of it. Well, mm-hmm. she got one of those mm-hmm. and they're going through airport security and the TSA says, nope, can't take it. So they take this gift away from this little girl that, mm-hmm. you know, 6 or 7 years old because it's got liquid in it. Mm-hmm. We can't have that on the plane. Instead of going, well, wait a minute, common sense is going to tell me this is some kid's grandma. And taking this away from her and seeing her absolutely in tears and that kind of thing, guess what? That probably is a bad move to make. And, you know, I think there's some of it to watch that. There's some of it to watch behavior as well. And I think the thing that I'm thinking is instead of the whole idea of let's do something and feel good about it, let's go learn from some of the best people. Okay, maybe we couldn't do exactly what the Israelis are doing, but you know what? They know how to put a stop to this thing, so let's see what they're doing and figure out how we can adapt it, you know, learn from some of the best.
Oh, absolutely. There, I can't disagree. And we haven't invented the book on airline security. Mm-hmm. And there's always room for improvement. But we're always going to have occasional outlying incidents, like mm-hmm. that snow globe.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that are going to happen when you have sort of national policies where millions of people are processed using those policies mm-hmm. on a day-to-day basis. There's going to be mistakes made. Silly things are going to happen. Is that just one of the costs? Is it we pay for all this equipment and people doing it, and we have to endure the mistakes they make?
Mm-hmm. It's a legitimate point to talk about, but just how many mistakes do you put up with before you go, all right, all we're doing is harassing ourselves and really causing no perceivable solution to this, you know? I don't know.
Does that mean the terrorists have won?
It's a good question.
If we're torturing ourselves for safety,
you got to wonder if they're not sitting there just kind of chuckling to themselves a little bit.
Look what we made them do now.
Listen to 590 WKZO on your phone, your tablet, iPad, WKZO, the app. Download information waits for you now at the quick link section at WKZO.com.
Swipe your passport card at Gun Lake Casino, and you can win a Ford Fusion. It's the Swipe and Win Car Edition. Prizes every Saturday, cash drawings every Sunday.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, National Service Officers.
We've got an entire generation of men and women who have seen war. They're going to need voices. They're going to need advocates.
Paralyzed Veterans of America is here to help.
We're going to make sure that the Veterans Affairs gives them everything that they're entitled to.
Get all the health care they need.
Making a person's house adaptable for them to go back home and live.
Education benefits.
And we also focus on getting them a job.
And if something happens to the veteran, then, you know, we're the spouse's advocate.
We help our veterans for free.
The way that Paralyzed Veterans of America does that is through their national service officers that are located throughout the United States.
Our work is important because people depend on us.
And they know when they come to Paralyzed Veterans of America, they're going to get the right answer, and they know that we are there for them 24/7, because we are.
Changing lives, building futures. That's Paralyzed Veterans of America. To learn more, visit pva.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
WKZO.com, AccuWeather Forecast.
Snow much of the time tonight into tomorrow morning, accumulating a total of 2 to 4 inches. Low tonight, 16. Lingering clouds and flurries tomorrow afternoon. High 24. Mostly cloudy and colder tomorrow night. The snow shower, low 5. Risk of very cold Thursday. A couple of snow showers, high 14. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Bob Larson.
Get AccuWeather anytime at WKZO.com.
590 WKZO. Lawrence and Taylor, the name of the program. I'm Jeremy Lawrence. He's Roger Taylor. And we have a cast of several thousand, including you.
Right. And what a great song for air guitar. That's one of my favorites for air guitar.
That's why we left it in there, so that you can play air guitar on that. That was the sum total reason of it.
Yeah.
Not because people might enjoy it.
It works every time.
We knew you would have fun with that song.
Well, I'm getting ready for that, the contest they have in Europe every year for air guitar bands.
I didn't even know they had contests for that.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, you got to get a band together then.
Yeah. You can be... Is it just air guitarists, or do they do the whole, like air drummers? And
No, it's just air guitarists.
Oh, air guitarists.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I could be an air singer.
I've heard your voice, and that would be a good choice.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what, a good choice always is to take in a movie that you enjoy at a good theater, like, for instance, Celebration Cinema.
Yeah.
Because that is a great place to go see a movie. I know from personal experience you do as well.
Oh, yeah.
And how about the opportunity to go this weekend, if you like?
And take a party with you.
Yeah.
You could take three friends with you.
You could do that. Now, we're not just saying go do it and pay for it.
Yes.
Now, certainly you should do that if you don't win these tickets. But we'd like to have you go on us. So here's what it is. If you'd like to go see, and this is a brand new movie, Vampire Academy... You're into the vampire thing, you can't get enough of it. I got four tickets to go see this thing. It's brand new, out in theaters as of Friday. So think about that. You could even go on opening night.
Ooh.
Which is even better. You could be amongst the first of your friends to see it.
Well, just think of the hit you'll make when you go to your friends. I've got tickets. I'm taking you to the movie, a premiere night, and it's free.
You're going to be the hero of the day.
Ooh, doggy, are you?
So, and you're going to be just so thankful because, you know what? You got them right here. Now, in order to win these tickets, all you have to do is answer correctly the dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question that Michael has come up with. Michael.
All right. Like I said earlier, the category was Winter Olympics, so here's the question. Which country has won the most total medals at the Winter Olympics?
Okay.
Total
medals.
Total medals. That's gold, silver, and bronze.
And this is like the modern Winter Olympics.
Yes.
Basic. Okay.
And can I give people a hint based on the question I asked you?
Yeah.
We know it's not Jamaica.
Something tells me.
Yeah.
But if you know the answer, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280, you could be the one that has the free tickets that's in the know and able to go to the theater this weekend. So,
first question out of my mouth was, did Jamaica win with their bobsled team? But then he told me, no, it's the most medals, not a medal.
Yeah.
And,
I don't know if they meddled at all with that.
They didn't.
It was kind of victory just for them to show up.
But it was a fun movie.
Oh, yeah. John Candy was in the thing.
Yeah,
I can't complain about that. But, so if you know the answer to that, 382-4280.
877-382-4280.
And what we're going to do is we got news coming up for you. But you know what? As we continue ahead, we'll find out who the winner is. And also... we're going to go over some of those Obamacare numbers. The CBO has come out with some interesting numbers. We'll tackle that. Take your phone calls then as well. Keep it right here. Lawrence and Taylor on 590 WKZO. Program is Lawrence and Taylor. It's 590 WKZO. As we went to the news break, we had the trivia question going on to win those movie tickets.
Refresh people's memory on what the trivia question was, Michael, the Wonder Producer.
The question was, which country has won the most total medals at the Winter Olympics?
Okay. And the answer to the question was...
The answer is... Norway.
All right.
See, that makes sense with all the mountains and fjords and whatever else. Yes.
What was the weirdest country guess you got from all those calls?
The first call actually got it right with Norway, and then a few other people said United States. They were second on the list at 253.
Sure.
And then Russia, and they were third on the list. That was about as weird as it got.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't anything else. Norway won a total, or has won a total of 303 medals at the Winter Olympics, 107 gold, 106 silver, and 90 bronze.
With all the skiing and different things that that can go on there in the mountains in the winter and all that, makes perfect sense.
Yeah. They have plenty of time to practice.
Right.
To do the bobsled and all that stuff that basically the rest of us ignore for 3 3/4 years, but enjoy around Olympic times.
When do the Olympics start?
They actually start the day before the opening ceremonies on Thursday, February 6th. That is correct. And then the opening ceremonies are on February 7th.
Friday.
Yes, on Friday.
So they start the games before they start the games. That's great.
Are those the pre-games? Is this like spring season for the baseball team?
It's like the play-in. You know, we're trying to see if Greece is going to be powerful enough.
Yeah.
I actually did look at the schedule. There are qualifying things going on, downhill skiing, some figure skating going on. So, yeah, no medals being given away on Thursday.
Sure.
Oh,
sure.
So it isn't real Olympics.
They're quote, breaking the ice, as it were.
Breaking the ice and have to get down a little thicker before you get to the medals.
Oh,
there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There you go.
And so. I will be paying a lot of attention to the Olympics.
Okay. Well, tell you what, before we dig into that, somebody won this thing.
Yes. That's correct.
Yeah. We have to tell who it is.
Yes. The winner was Richard Ellard from Matawan.
There you go.
Congratulations, okay. Richard.
Richard gets to be the hero there by taking somebody to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
So. Did he say who he was taking?
No, he did not say who he was taking.
Okay.
He's probably still figuring that one out.
Yeah.
I mean, there's four tickets, so he could take us three.
Now, is that legal? If a listener chooses to take some of us?
Well, I'm going to say right off the bat, I probably wouldn't do it anyway.
Darn it.
And now that I'm thinking about it, why would a listener want to go to a movie with us?
Let's see. Do I take these people that would talk their way through the whole thing?
Yes.
No, I don't want to do that. You know, the two of us would be sitting there, oh, that's not real. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. What are you doing? So, don't take us.
Okay.
Probably not a good idea.
Okay.
So, the Olympics coming up, the 7th opening ceremonies, and, you know, they, I want to say they light the torch, but they don't actually light it. They just kind of light it up with what they've already had running through the countryside anyway.
Yes.
So.
And the Russians have had some problems with their torch and keeping it lit. And
well, and I've seen they're actually having problems with making sure that their hotels are ready to go as
well.
Yes,
that too.
They've been having some issues.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not going to sit around and chuckle too much about it, but I keep thinking back to, you know, the last time it was in America, things went darn good. So, yeah, it makes you feel good.
Oh, yeah, they were in Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City,
yes.
2002.
2002, yep.
I've got the video game.
So, congratulations. It's the one way he's won any Olympic anything.
Yeah.
So,
why am I not surprised?
As the champion skier there. But one thing we wanted to talk about a little bit, getting into this, and we made the promise, the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, put out some numbers that talked about Obamacare and the impact that it's going to have on the economy, on spending and that kind of thing. And the numbers that are coming out, if you're in the White House or you're in the camp that Obamacare is a good thing, they can't be too happy about it. According to a piece that I'm seeing in the Washington Times, they're saying that by the year 2017, Obamacare will push the equivalent of about 2 million workers out of the labor market. And in addition to that, there's been some talk that there's actually going to be additional spending. I saw a piece, looked like it was in The Hill, talked about that the cost would end up being somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 trillion additional spending because of Obamacare. Ultimately, these are not numbers that the White House would look too fondly on, I would think, because I remember the president saying something about it's not going to add a dime to the deficit. Well, it's not only added that, it's added some spending that will show up on the debt, which is not anything anybody wants, certainly, with the kind of spending we've done.
I'm thinking we're hearing guesses here because we don't know, even the CBO, because mm-hmm. we don't know. The enrollment is picking up steam, mm-hmm. and the enrollment numbers appear to be heading toward where they were predicted to be. And so there's a lot of, in my mind, guessing going on here in the actual demographic breakdown of the people who sign up. But let's assume the data points that these articles are referring to are correct. How do you fix Obamacare to resolve some of these issues? We've got a law that's on the books. We've got millions of people who have signed up for it. Mm-hmm. We can't make it go away anymore. And so what's the when do we begin to look at fixes for some of these issues? Do you have any fixes for the issues you were ticking off there?
Roger, I think to start off, I mean, you're on the assumption that it's law, that's it, we're done, we can't repeal it, we can't do anything. Well, yeah, we can repeal it, and we can make some changes to be able to make things work better. Now, I think you start off with the first point, which, as I've said many times before, you go to the points that we can all agree on, the idea that pre-existing conditions, let's make sure that things are the way that Obamacare fixed it to be, because I think you could find a definitive majority that says, yeah, pre-existing conditions, that shouldn't keep you from getting insurance. Okay, let's make sure that that's on the board with a new plan. Let's make sure that you've got the clause that says, you know what, kids can stay on your policy for longer. People like that sort of thing. I think we can all agree on that. I think the difference is that when you've got, because Obamacare is all about one size fits all, and that's a lot of what the plans are about. Let's make sure that every plan has maternity coverage in it. Well, here's a problem. Half the population don't need maternity coverage because we're men. So
men are not involved in pregnancies. If your wife gets pregnant, your family is not involved in that pregnancy.
In terms of insurance, but the insurance charges her insurance, not necessarily my insurance. They don't come along and go, well, all right, he helped, so you know what? We're going to take half of it out of his plan. That's not how insurance works.
So,
I'm not saying men aren't involved. I'm just saying from a standpoint of business, they got to put it somewhere.
So you're comfortable that women should be charged more because they get pregnant?
And in as much as I think men are the only ones that have to deal with prostate exams, and therefore women shouldn't have to be charged for those. We're different, so we need to be approached different. And there's differences in different states, different things that need to be focused on. I think you break it down state by state, honestly. I think ultimately you break it down with the idea that market forces can fix a lot of the stuff that you seem to think we're just stuck with.
I don't think we're stuck with anything. This law was not my choice. Don't expect me to defend it.
Mm-hmm.
I was opposed to it when the Heritage Foundation came up with this harebrained idea. I was convinced we should have expanded Medicare for everybody. We already had one of the world's most efficient healthcare delivery systems working. All it needed to do would be scale it up, and instead we decided to reinvent a wheel with this harebrained idea. I'm not convinced this is the best approach.
Mm-hmm.
On some levels, I agree with you, but it isn't going to be repealed, at least while President Obama is. Mm-hmm. And so you're still, we got to repeal this thing and start over. There's no point where you would switch over and start looking at fixes for specific problems that appear to be cropping up. Every one of these things is just another reason to repeal in your mind.
Absolutely. And you've seen how many stories of people that have dealt with higher costs, people that have dealt with a higher deductible, people that just, I mean, I've seen story after story after story of people who say, you know what, I can't afford this. Affordable health care? Yeah, that's not what it should be called. Because these people are saying, no, I can't afford it.
But we're also hearing just as many stories about people who are saving big money, Jeremy. You know, in the rebuttal to the State of the Union address, the woman from Washington or Oregon who did one of the Republican responses brought up a case. It was pursued by the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, and the woman admitted that she absolutely refused to go to the website to shop for insurance because she was personally opposed to this approach. So she's on national television saying Obamacare took my health care away from me, and she won't go to the marketplace that was created and shop for insurance to see if she could have gotten it less expensively. Oh. There's all sorts of stories out there, Jeremy. We don't have enough real data yet. The system isn't far enough into operation to be able to make any real analysis of how well the system is working.
I'll make some points on that here, but I want to remind listeners as well, the phones are open to you at any time, so we want to hear from you on this, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. I mean, you can point at that and say, okay, she wasn't willing to do that. Given some of the stories that we've heard about privacy concerns, given the story that we had a couple of weeks ago of somebody that hacked into it in 4 minutes' time, that's a concern. I can understand why people don't want to put their information on there and make it available for hackers to get on there and steal their identity.
But when do we make the transition from trying to repeal it to try to address some of the stuff that you don't like in it? At some point, doesn't the emphasis have to change from repeal, 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 and get to fix, fix, make better, remove some of these issues that are causing inconvenience and harm to people?
Well,
but no, it's repeal or nothing.
Well, let me ask you a question. If you've got a car that you keep pouring money into it, and no matter what fixes you make on it, it does not work, it does not do what you want to do, are you going to keep that car and keep pouring money into it and trying to fix, fix, fix? Or are you going to get rid of the thing and come up with something new that will work for you? It's a simple question.
Well, it isn't a simple question, because we can't walk away from this mess that's been created. We've headed down this road, and we've got to make what we have work. It's not going to be repealed. When do the conservatives who are so opposed finally admit that it's law, it's in place, and we need to make it work better?
So if there's a bad law and it's been on the books long enough, we just have to put up with it? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying we can't just repeal, repeal,
no,
repeal, repeal.
Yes or no.
Yes or no. Yes or no what?
Yes or no. If you've got a bad law that's on the books, do you have some sort of statute of limitations that after a while, well, it's law, so you just have to accept it?
You make a bad law better by looking at the problems and fixing it.
But if it's bad to the core,
well,
there's no way to fix that. I mean, if it's bad to the core, sometimes you got to cut it loose. You
so
got to get rid of it.
If that option isn't going to happen, are you just going to make the American people suffer with it?
You're making the assumption that it's not going to happen. Let's go to the phones. Jeff is in Richland. Jeff, welcome.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, first of all, we haven't decided that this car is a lemon, because we even haven't taken it for hardly a test drive.
Exactly.
Second of all, I guess, you know, there's people that are griping about higher premiums, and some people got lower premiums. And unfortunately, we're all, not all dealt the same hand of cards when we're brought into this world, and there's people that need more help than others. I've been very fortunate that I've been healthy for the vast majority of my life, and, you know, I guess I'm one of these people that feels very, very, very grateful for that. And if there's somebody out there that has been dealt a poorer hand in life, whether they have early childhood cancer or, you know, whatever happens to come down the pike for them, if I need to help support them a little bit, you know, you can't go at insurance with a Walmart mentality. You know, everybody that's fortunate needs to pay a little bit more, I think, to help out those that are a little less fortunate. Maybe I'm very unique in that thought process, but once again, I'm very grateful for being healthy, and hopefully I keep that up. And, you know, if something comes down the road to put me in the situation that some of these folks find themselves in, I hope that somebody else has enough kindness and compassion to help me out.
Okay, Jeff, thanks. We got to get to a break. Appreciate your call.
Yep.
In our final segment together, we've got Paul standing by on the line. Just have a minute or so. Paul, go ahead and be quick.
Jeremy, you're completely wrong. I mean, Roger is 100% right. Once a law gets passed, it's there. You can't repeal it. Laws being repealed is just a horrible idea. We had this great law, a constitutional amendment called Prohibition. It dried up the towns. It was so great. And then they repealed it. I mean, why couldn't they just compromise and let us have a beer while we watch baseball? Why'd they have to go to the repeal? And also, we had a great law called the Fugitive Slave Act, where the farm owners could have this working body of people that they could buy, and they worked the land, and they repealed that too. They could have just given the slaves the weekend off. Wouldn't that have been a better compromise? once we pass these laws, we got to honor them. We can't just repeal them.
I'm sensing some sarcasm there, Paul.
Just a little.
Well, I appreciate your call. Thanks for calling in today.
All right, bye.
And, you know, I mean, there's points on both sides. And, you know, I think the one thing that we know for sure, Obamacare, it's an issue, and it continues to be an issue for people because health care is just not that affordable these days.
And we need to fix it if there are problems.
Or replace it with something that will work.
Never going to happen, Jeremy.
We'll see.
Or find some middle ground.
Come to the real world. It's a law.
The real world. Yeah, okay. We'll just live with it, sure. Have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.